Message before I get to talking about that, and then I get on a rabbit trail and I change my mind, amen, about what God would have me to do. I want you to take your Bibles, if you would, and stand with me again, and we're going to take another stab at this area in 1 Peter, because I find it just so amazing, and I'm sure that many, like a pastor would say, sometimes when you read a passage and you come to an area in Scripture, God shows you so many things about yourself before he ever shows you anything that you can share with someone else. And I want us to look at another area here, and we're not going to try to cover everything that we talked about in the past, but just to give you an introduction, 1 Peter chapter number 3, and we're going to look at verses number 13, we're going to read down to verse 17, amen? And we're going to just set the tone here to give us an introduction as to what we want to talk about. I still hear pages turning, but that's where we want to be tonight, 1 Peter chapter 3, and verse number 13. Let's read verse number 11. Amen.
Amen, Pastor.
Let us, number 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse you, falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing.
Amen.
You know, it's a tremendous area. You know, Brother Serge asked me what was the title. You know, I was reading one of the commentaries said, this area, as you think about it, it's like a mirror. Not a mirror. He didn't say a mirror, but like a glass. When it comes to our conscience, it needs to be like a glass that you need to keep it clean. Because when you keep it clean, the light of the gospel shines through, and you won't do evil work, but you do work that's well-pleasing to God. And I hope to share that with you tonight. As I think about it in my own life, I'm just so thankful that God continues to convict me in my life about little things that we do because my conscience won't let me just be satisfied with just doing just anything. And tonight I want us to see how keeping the window clean, our conscience will be clean so that God can use us, because God's ultimate goal is for us to be a witness in the crisis of life that we face, no matter what it is that we're going through. And if we don't have a clear conscience, we can't have the courage, we can't have the motivation, we can't have the desire, we can't have the right motive for what we do, how we say it, and how we do it, if we don't have a clear conscience. Because God can't use us, and if our conscience is not clear, the light of the gospel or the word of God can't come through and shine in your life that it might affect those that you are around so that they might see Christ in you. Amen. So I want us to think about it tonight, as he says here, is his having a good conscience, that's whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse you, your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Because if we don't, we ought to be, thank God that someone would have something bad to say about us.
Amen.
Because we stand for the truth.
Amen.
And Pastor, I can relate to that. We just had that conversation yesterday.
Amen.
Well, let's bow for prayer as we get into this tonight. Father, thank you again for tonight. We thank you for your blessings. God, we thank you for just the word of God and the clarity of it, and how I pray tonight, Lord, that you would use this vessel to empty it of itself, fill it with your spirit, forgive it of any sin that might be a hindrance to that which you would want to do here tonight amongst your people, that we might leave here again tonight and say that it has been good to be in the house of the Lord, and that we might have a conscience that would be clear that we can do your will, even though those that might speak evil against us, we can stand no matter what they say because of who you are and what you do in and through us. Bless now, I pray, the message. Speak to our hearts. Again, we pray that you'll be lifted up and honored and glorified. Thank you for the souls that got saved this morning. And I pray there be any here tonight that's not assured of their place in heaven, that this might be the night, this may be the day, it might be the time, that they would make that decision for you before it's eternally too late. We praise you now and ask these things in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. As I just want to go back just a little bit just to share with us, share with you what we talked about last week, because we talked about many of things. We talked about the preparation that took place, and all of the preparation that we talked about is being submissive to God and submissive to the will of God, because being submissive to God is what Peter is talking about, how important it is for us to be submissive. We talked about the preparation that takes place in a Christian life. We talked about the particulars when we talked about how a person ought to behave. We talked about the particulars. We talked about, let me see, make sure I get it right. We talked about the particulars. We talked about the practical things. We talked about the prompting of the believer, how he ought to be prompted to live for God. Because the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and he sees how we behave. He sees what we go through. And because when we don't behave the way that God would have us to behave, our prayers are not answered. So we saw that. But we also saw the practice. If we're going to be submissive to God, Peter is telling us here some practice, some things that we ought to practice doing when it comes to living for God. And I want to just pick it up tonight because we talked about last week the importance of sanctification. Or the last time that we talked about this area, because if we're going to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts, there's some things that we ought to do. And one of the things that I want us to remember about sanctifying the Lord God in our hearts, that we need to allow God to sit on, or Christ to sit on the throne of our hearts, so that we allow him to be in the place of precedence in our lives, then we can sanctify him. Because what we say, what we do, if he's on the throne, he's going to speak for us, and we don't have to speak for ourselves. And if we're going to put him in the position where he ought to be, then we can sanctify him, and we can give an answer to every man that does ask us of the reason or the hope that is within us. We don't have to say it. Christ will say it for us, because that's where he wants to be. And if we're going to practice this, he's telling us that he needs to be on the throne. And as we saw in Peter, our writer here, Peter could give us this challenge in our lives, because Peter failed God. We talked about this when we talked about the practice of it. Peter fell because when we talked about failure in submitting to God, Peter fell because he denied the Lord three times. But we talked about a person that not only if we want to have favor of God, we looked at how Daniel found favor in the eyes of the Lord because Daniel submitted to God and God gave him a testimony before those that were around Daniel. When Daniel got taken away from his comfort zone, put in a place where he had to represent God, and Daniel, all he asked was, you give me 10 days because I do not want to do anything to defile myself because of his relationship with God, because Daniel wanted God to be on the throne of his life. We can be a failure in God, or we can win the favor of God. And not only do we want to really be in the favor of God, when we saw how Peter was favored by God, we saw that we can do one or two things in the Christian life. We can be conformed to this world, or we can be transformed. And the transformation that takes place in a Christian life is the transformation that God does in his life through the word of God. And I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable servant, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's the only way that Jesus Christ can sit on the throne of your life, if you allow him to transform your life. And it makes sense tonight when we talk about this transformation and this sanctification. But Peter also goes on to say, having a good conscience. We need to have a good conscience. And we're going to look at the definition of it. But we're going to look at what this conscience does in the life of the Christian. Because it would give him confidence when he keeps the window clean of his heart. Because when sin is in your heart, the window in your heart and the light of the gospel message won't come through. Because God never functions and operates where sin abounds. And we got to keep it clean. Amen. I need to keep it clean if I want God to do something in my life and to use me. And I'll tell you, folks, if we be honest with ourselves, we're challenged every day. Amen. There's a crisis that'll come in your life every day. You know, I was telling Brother Hall, it might just be the person when you go. You ever go up to, I'm getting on a rabbit, but let me chase this rabbit tonight. You ever go to the store and there's always somebody outside of it that wants to ask you for money. You know what? You never know. It might just be Christ.
That's right.
Wanting to see how you're going to respond to that person. Because you may be helping somebody that God put in your path to help. And you know what? We got to be careful how we respond, because God convicted my heart this morning that I did not respond to that man the way that I ought to. Mm-hmm. I ain't got no money. But you know what? When your conscience is where it ought to be, the light of the gospel or the light of the word of God will come through, and it will convict you of that's not how you ought to behave. And so our conscience needs to be clear. We need to have forgiveness in our hearts if we're going to do the will of God in our lives. And folks, it's not easy. It's something we have to do every day. Now, I want to share with you some thoughts here about what the conscience really is. And I'm going to just kind of zip through it. But I want you to understand that the word conscience has the idea, and it comes from the Latin word means to as we think of the word con, or we think of sis or conscious, it means to be with or to know. Or to know with a clear conscience, or to know with the word of God telling me what I ought to do. And the word of God is always going to lead us into doing the right things, what God would have us to do. A conscience is the internal judge that witnesses to us, that enable us to know with whether either we are approved of our actions or we're going to be accused of our actions and them not being what God would have them to be. Romans chapter 12, or Romans chapter 2, if you want to turn there, Romans chapter 2 and verse 14 gives us a great illustration of what the conscience really is. Romans chapter 2 and verse 14 says this: for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the means which also are else accusing one another. In other words, when we think about the word of God and how the Gentiles or the Jews had it, but the Gentiles, we knew of the law, or they knew of the law, and it is the knowing of the law that was convicting them because of their conscience was working in their lives about what they ought to do. See, we know what we ought to do, and our conscience will be a witness and a testimony to us. If our conscience is not seared, our conscience is not warped, if it is present, or if we allow the word of God to be the influence on our conscience, we'll make the right choices. We'll make the right decisions. Notice what he says here, because the work of the conscience has the idea of this. The conscience here is that thing that will show them and guide them of the knowing the right and the wrong to their behavior. They have something else, and that was their conscience speaking of a good conscience, but it was then showed them when it talks about the work of the law written in their hearts. But also it talks about the witness of it. The conscience acts like the law that is a witness to a person regarding the character of their conduct. In other words, when it's not right, it works to show us how our behavior is not what it ought to be, and it witnesses to us that we're not behaving the way that we ought to. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Because it is so prevalent that Peter writes of it. And I believe why he's writing, because Peter had his conscience. And we talked about it before. Peter was just beaten up and down when God looked at him and said, you're going to deny me three times. And we know Peter failed. And I believe his conscience didn't let him rest, because he knew he had disappointed God. And how many times have we disappointed God by our behavior and by our actions and how we handle things? And I say this tonight, I thank God for a clear conscience.
Amen.
Because our conscience works with the word of God and shows us when we're not what we ought to be. And we don't behave the way that we ought to be. And let me say this again, because Peter says the eyes of the Lord is over the righteous. God sees how we behave. God sees how we act, because God is not just looking at the outward appearance. God is looking at our hearts. And our hearts have to be the right way. And if our hearts going to be what it ought to be, there don't need to be no bitter. There don't need to be no anger. There don't need to be those things in our hearts, because it won't allow the light of the gospel or the word of God to shine through in our lives, that other people might see the difference in us. And when we say that we are Christian, and we have to get this sin out of our lives. And I want us to think about it tonight, because that's how it works against us. And, you know, we think about a conscience here. If we persistently disobey God, think about it this way. When I say keep the window clean, the window gets dirtier and dirtier until the light cannot enter in, and it certainly won't shine through. And if we don't keep our conscience clear and go to God when we've done wrong, confess our faults, and confess to God our sin, because he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness if we're going to be what God would have us to be. I need to do it in my life. I told my wife this. I have been struggling with this, and God has perked my heart about the importance of coming to God and confessing to God when you're not right, you're not doing it the right way, you don't have the right attitude. You need to come to God and get it right. Because God can't use you. And I'm afraid a lot of us as Christians are struggling today, just like I've been struggling. I'm just be honest. Struggling in our Christian lives because we won't go to God and confess our sins to God when we know that we've done wrong. We got to keep the window clean, folks. I got to keep it clean in my life. Because what he's saying here, when it gets dirtier and dirtier, we'll have a defiled conscience. Titus 1 and verse 15 says this, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. In other words, nothing's right, amen? It's not a pure conscience, but it is a defiled conscience. But even their mind and conscience is defiled, and everything is messed up when we don't keep it clean. Or we can have a seared heart. In other words, one that has been so sinned against, our conscience has been so sinned against that is no longer is sensitive to what is right and what is wrong. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 2 says this, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that it is the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed unto seducing spirit and doctrines and of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. In other words, they're going to become so prone and so desensitized to the things of God and the word of God that they can never accomplish anything because their conscience is seared and because they're going to see things differently and they're going to no longer be sensitive to the Spirit of God working in their lives. Because if we don't keep it clean, folks, we can become that way, and that's not pleasing to God. A conscience. It is possible for the conscience to be poisoned. Think about it. We live in a society where our society thinks that what's bad is good, and what's good is bad. Amen. And you know what? If we're not careful, we begin to think the same way. You know, homosexuality is a sin against God. I don't care how you look at it. It's an abomination to God.
It is.
The laws making it a law and saying that it's okay don't make it right before God.
Amen.
That doesn't change it. It's still sin.
That's right.
I like Pastor just being honest. We were talking about it the other Sunday. I mean, Wednesday night. He was talking about when you are alcoholic and you drink too much, you are drunk. Amen. Alcoholism don't make it right. It just make you drunk when you drink too much. Amen. And it's still a sin against God. And we want to be right with God. A good conscience then is the one that accuses when we think or do wrong and approves when we do right. And that's what we want. In other words, we want to do what Acts 24 and verse 16 says. And herein do I exercise myself. In other words, that's the kind of exercising that I want to have always a conscience void of offense towards God and towards men. Because if I don't have my conscience right before God, I can never have it right towards men. Because that's where it begins. That's where it all starts. Because my conscience has to be what it needs to be. And that's what Peter is talking about, having a good conscience. I need to exercise it. So how does a good conscience help the believer in times of trials and opposition and disappointments or in crisis that come into his life? We're going to look at that tonight because it's going to help him do some things in his life. And one of the things a good conscience is going to help a person is, and the way it's going to help us to be able to do that, we need to make sure that we're studying the Word of God.
Amen.
And I believe that everyone is a Christian, and I admit to my own self, I don't spend enough time in the Word of God the way that I ought to.
Amen.
Because if I'm going to have a clear conscience and I'm going to be right before God and I'm going to allow him to be on the throne, God works better when I surrender my life to God. But God also works better and the word of God will come through in power and in truth in my life if I study the word of God, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I need to study the word of God and allow it to have its place in my life, because if it has its place in my life, when I say something out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak, because what you have in it is what's going to come out.
Amen.
If it's dirty on the inside, dirt's going to come out. But if it's the word of God that's on the inside up, guess what? The word of God is going to come out.
Amen.
And it's going to affect somebody else's life.
Yes, sir,
boy. I needed to hear that.
Amen.
So we need to study the word of God. I need to be in the word of God. And just need to be honest tonight, because we need a clear conscience, because Peter is saying that my conscience needs to be clear. And if I'm going to be what God wants me to be, a good conscience is one that's going to accuse me when I'm wrong. But it's going to fortify him or fortify me with courage to know that I'm right with God and I'm right with man. And not only is it going to fortify me, but it's going to give me peace with God that passes all understanding. And when I got the confidence that I need with my relationship being right with God, it's going to give me the courage to stand when nobody else wants to stand. And when they want to accuse me of being wrong, when I know that I'm right with God, I can have confidence because I know that I'm right with God. That's going to help me in my Christian life. And what's going to be a hindrance to me when I'm not right with God, I'm not going to have the courage to be right with other men. Because I got to be right with God first.
That's right.
Then all the other relationships will come into play. Just think about it. He says it's better even when we are being accused for right doing, because somebody else wants to accuse us for wrongdoing. But I can have courage to know that I ain't done nothing wrong. Jesus could go and stand before all of those that was accusers to him, calling him a malefactor, because they were saying that he's somebody that's doing right. And we know that that was not true, because everything that Christ did, it was the right thing to do. And those that falsely accuse us of doing something that you know you didn't do, when you're right with God, it doesn't matter what they say about you. And you can have courage and you can have confidence to stand before people, even when you come to false accusers who want to accuse you of doing wrong when you haven't done any wrong. And it is better, because now it's going to fortify me with some courage. It's going to give me peace in my heart, but it's going to remove from me or from us fear of what people can do to us. And the thing that caused Peter to fail was Peter was more worried about what people thought of him, that he was being conformed to the world than being transformed. Because he wasn't right with God. And when we're not right with God, we're more worried about what other people say. But what about fearing what God can do to me? God can do more to me than any man could ever do. When I think about Job, the devil couldn't do but so much to Job because of what God would allow him to do to Job. But he had confidence. When God allowed those things to happen in Job's life, he said, I know my servant Job. He's going to direct his family. He's going to do. He's going to stand. It wasn't because of what God gave him. It was because of what his relationship was with God that gave him courage. And if my relationship is right with God, it's my relationship with God that's right that's going to give me courage. Not what God gives me, but when I'm right with God, I don't have to worry about what somebody else is going to say about me. I don't have to worry about what other people will do to me who want to falsely accuse me. And that's what Peter is saying. It's better to have well-doing and doing right than it is even when those are evildoers are involved. Because they're going to accuse you. You know, they lied about Jesus. But I'm afraid a lot of us as Christians, probably what a lot of things they say is true. Because we're not living for God. God help us. Because Psalms 118 verse 6 says this: for the Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do to me. If he's on your side, then I ought not fear what man can do to me. Because he can't harm me unless God allows. You know what? You can hurt me physically, but you can't take my soul. You can't take my place in heaven. You can't take my testimony. You might try to ruin it, but the character of a Christian is the thing that you ought to be more concerned about, is the character that you ought to have before a lost and dying world. It's your character. I want us to think about two things tonight. One of the two things that Peter says you're going to either do. Because you know what? You can have good intentions in your doing, but evil in doing it. Did y'all get that?
Amen.
I don't even know if I can say it that way again. So y'all hold on to it, innit? Amen? Because we can do something with the intent of doing it for the right reason or for a good reason, but it's still evil doing. See, I can want to help somebody, but on the inside, I'm just as bitter. I'm just as angry.
Yes, sir,
I'm just as stubborn. I ain't doing it because I want to. I'm doing it because I don't want to forgive that person. I don't want to love that person. And it's still evil doing. But I ought to do it in well doing. Because the eyes of the Lord is over the righteous. And he knows what I'm doing and how I do it. It can still be evil doing. You can come and sit in the pew and you want to hear this loudmouth black man hollering and screaming, spitting. I ain't spit on nobody yet. Amen. Just kidding. And you may not even want to be here.
Amen.
And that's still evil doing.
Yes, sir.
But you ought to want to be in the house of God because something might be said by somebody that you need to hear. And if it's not, it's still evil doing. It's not well doing. It's evil doing. Because evil doing is not pleasing to God. We either going to do it with evil doing, or we're going to do it with well doing. Evil doing it is to bring harm. And to do evil or to do wrong. Well doing is for another's benefit. Even when the evil doers were trying to do and treat Jesus wrong, he still went to the cross and he died for your sin and for mine. Because the benefit of it was for us. Praise God. Because it benefited us.
Yes, sir, it did.
And the evil doers was doing it because they thought they were doing him harm. And how many of us are living in such a way that the evil doers are trying to do things against us because they know that you stand for truth and you living the right way. The light is shining through and you're bringing conviction on them because of your lifestyle. Because of your conversation of your lifestyle. How many of us as Christians have that testimony tonight? Because that's what it's all about. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So we need to keep the light coming through.
Yes, sir,
we need to keep the window clean of sin so that God can use us to make a difference in somebody's life. I want to just quickly share some things with you. Let's turn over to a great example. We could go back to Daniel. I won't go to Daniel. Let's turn over to Genesis 39. Let's look at this man called Joseph. Now, here's Joseph, and we could go to Daniel as well. But when I think about Joseph and all that he went through, look at the evil doing that took place in Joseph's life. But look at the well doing that took place in Joseph's life as well. Is everybody with me? Now, think about it. Here's another one of these persons that we talk about. Joseph, just like Daniel, was taken from everything and everybody that he knew. He was sold into slavery, but yet, even as in being sold into slavery, I don't believe that Daniel could have done what he did if Daniel hadn't stayed close to the light of the Word of God. Just think about it. We could read this story in its entirety, but just to pick it up here, I want us to think about, first of all, evil doing has the idea, if we've already talked about, evil doing is to harm or to do evil or to wrong somebody who's trying to do right. Because here's Joseph. He was brought into slavery, but yet God was still with Joseph. And all that was going on. Think about it. In verse 2, it says, And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. And the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him and made him overseer over his house and over all that he had, and put it into his hands. I want you to think about it. Here's Joseph. He's prospering. You know what? We need to be careful. Even when prosperity is in our lives, you know what? The devil is still out to get you. And you would have thought, of all people, why would they attack Joseph? Because you know what? When you want the light to shine through, the devil wants to be a hindrance. He don't want you to do right. He don't want you to have a clear conscience. Joseph didn't do any wrong. Here he was trying to live right. I want you to think about a few things that evil does. Evil is persistent. Notice what happens here, because we all know the story. And Joseph had all of these things in his hand. And here's Potiphar's wife. She's coming. And the Bible tells us in verse number 7, if we just look at that one, notice what it says, and it came to pass. Notice how many times it says, and it came to pass. In verse 10, and it came to pass. Verse 7, it says, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused. Look at verse 10. And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day. Boy, that's persistency. Amen. And notice in verse number 11, and it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house. Persistency to do his business. And there was none in the other men in the house that were therein. And she caught him by his garment. Look at verse 13. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garments in her hand and fled forth, that she called the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, see how thou hast brought in a Hebrew unto me, unto us, to mock us and to come in unto me and lie with me and to cry out. I cried out with a loud voice. Again, look at persistency. And it came to pass when they heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled. It's amazing how persistency takes place. The devil. Joseph was not only did evil is persistent, but evil always brings pressure. And we're going to be pressed into doing something that we know that we ought not do. Amen. But I like what it says when it says that. But in verse 8, but Joseph, he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wrought not what is with me in the house, and have committed all that he has to my hand. And there is none greater in his house than I, neither have he kept by anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Joseph wasn't worried about what was happening with her. Joseph's biggest concern was that if he did this, he was sinning against God. And that ought to be our first priority. Not that we say, well, we ain't doing it because I'm a Christian. We ought to do it, not do it because we're going to be sinning against God. That's going to keep our conscience clear when we realize this is a holy God that we're sinning against. But not only did we see that when it's persistent and it brings pressure, and notice the position that his wife had. She could have pressed him, and Joseph could have thought that it's okay to do this because this is my master's wife. She wants me to do this. But you know what? In the eyes of God, it's still wrong.
That's right.
And position that people have. You know what? That's sexual harassment on the job, ain't it? Number one, and it's still wrong. And many people go through it. Ladies, it don't just happen to ladies. It can happen to men, too. So we see this even in Joseph's case. And notice the position of her. She was Pharaoh's wife. And you know what? Evil doing has a purpose. And its purpose is to lie on the person who's trying to do right. That is its whole purpose. Is to lie and to say wrong thing about you and falsely accuse you. But I want you to notice what well-doing does. Notice doing well, we're going to still be prosperous. So prosperity followed Joseph. Not only did we see prosperity following Joseph in verses 2 and 3, but notice the privileges that follow. Because it came to pass at the time that he made him overseer over his house and over all that he had. And Joseph, the house of the Egyptians was blessed because of Joseph and because the Lord was with Joseph. And I tell you this, folks, when we stand for what is right and we do right in well-doing, you know, people are going to notice that there's something different about you. Amen. And they're going to not only notice it, but they're going to see that the presence of God is with you. And it's going to make a difference in your life. It's going to give you a greater testimony before a lost and a dying world. It's amazing that they saw this in Joseph's life. The master, his boss, saw that his property, his land, his everything was prospering because of Joseph. And let me tell you something, folks. When you're right with God, you can be right with men.
That's right.
When you're at peace with God, you can be at peace with man. And what I like about this whole thing here, when they accused Joseph, he didn't say a word. And I find it ironic that even his master, because it's amazing, most of us husbands, our wives know everything about us. Amen? Amen. They know when you're lying. They know when you done something you ain't got no business doing. They know when you ain't done something you ought to do. And I believe that Potiphar knew his wife. Potiphar wasn't upset with Joseph, because I'm going to tell you, when people know that you're a Christian, you have the courage to stand, make a difference, and when it becomes outside of your character, because they know your character, they don't believe when you've been falsely accused.
That's right.
They know that you're being falsely accused.
That's right.
And I believe that Potiphar's wife, he knew the kind of person she was. And you know what? I don't know about you, but somebody harming my wife, I'm going to probably want to kill him. And Joseph, for what he had done that she was accusing him of, he should have been put to death.
Right.
But you know what? When the blessings are coming from God, even when you are a sinner and you see him and you know that things are different because of your Christian walk in a workplace, people want you around them. So when he put Joseph in prison, Joseph wasn't that far from Potiphar because of his character and his testimony. Because the light is still shining through.
That's right, that's right.
He's keeping the glass clean. And when you keep the glass clean, prosperity, the presence of God, it says that the Lord was with Joseph. He prospered. And God has a purpose. Because it's not just for you, it's for those that are around you. Because God has a purpose for your life. God has a purpose for my life. And he wants to use me. But my conscience needs to be clean. Because even when I'm being falsely accused, I can still have the courage to stand because I know that I haven't done any wrong. And they can accuse me. They can throw me in prison. And you know what? When you stand for what's right, you may have to suffer the punishment that comes from the evildoer.
That's right.
But you know what? I like it because it says twice that the Lord was with Joseph.
Yes.
And even when they threw him in the prison of the king's prison, Joseph still had the presence of God and he had the promises of God. The Bible says that God says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The Bible says, when we said it last week, that the Bible says, God says when he's pleased with what we do, he make even our enemies to be at peace with us. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Because he keeps it clean. He keeps a clear conscience. He can stand before people who even falsely accuse him of doing wrong because they know his character. Even a lost and dying world. But when we don't have the testimony and we don't have the character, you know what? They might be right. But I hope that we prove them to be wrong. Because if we're going to be a witness in this society in which we live, the Bible says all that live godly will suffer what? Persecution. Joseph went through persecution, falsely accused, but Joseph still had a witness. He still had a testimony. He still had the prosperity in his life. He still had the promises of God. He still had the presence of God in his life. And folks, I'm telling you, you can't be in a greater position and have the presence of God with you, even if you were somewhere in Timbuktu. Because if you're in the will of God, doing what God would have you to do, it's better to be there than it would be here and be out of the will of God. And not let people pressure you into being something just for their sake, but you ought to fear God. And you ought to want to have a testimony. And don't let them cause you to do something that would be displeasing to your God. Because we can be evildoers or we can be well-doers. It is better to do well-doing even when they try to persecute us and falsely accuse us in well-doing. Let that be our testimony. Don't let it be the evildoing that the world wants to accuse us of. Because they're going to do it. And folks, it's going to get worse. And we're going to be pressured more, I believe, in the days to come to stand for the Lord than we ever have been in the days in the past. And just like Pastor saying, people don't want to hear the King James Bible, but you know what? I find it to be true. I find it to be convicting. I find it to be compassion. I find it to be a comfort in my relationship with the Lord. That's what I want to hear. I don't want to go somewhere I don't understand what they're saying, because I said this and I say it again. If God can't preserve what he wanted me to hear and what we wanted me to know, then he ain't much of a God. He don't need man to change what he says. He just need man to do what he says. And that ought to convict all of us about how important it is for to stand for the King James Version of it. It's been tried, tested, and proven, and it has still stood the test of time. And I believe to all my heart, I don't know anybody yet that got saved by any other version of it. And maybe so. But you know what? I know a whole lot of them that got saved by this one. Because that's what I got saved with. And that's what I want to live by, because you know what? If you get raised on it, you know why I like corn? I like butter beans. I like snap. I like collard greens. I like ham hocks. I like chitlins. I like all of those things that grew in the farm. I like butter beans. I like sweet tea. I like pig's feet. I like the pig toes. I like the pig tails. I like all of that because that's what I was raised on. And I still like it. Had some of them good old country sausages this morning because that's what I was raised by. When I want to hear the word of God, this is what I was saved by. This is what I want to live by. This is what I was raised on. And this is what I want to have in my life. I don't know about you, but that's what I want in my life. Praise God. But I need to keep it clean. I need to keep it clear so that the word of God still have a place in my life, that it'll shine through and make a difference in my life and may make a difference in somebody else's life. Because the purpose here that we need to realize today, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is the purpose of every one of us, I believe, as a Christian. When Peter says having a good conscience, and the only way that we can have it is to make sure that our relationship with God is what it needs to be. And we need to keep it clean if we're going to live for God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That is the purpose. Heads bowed and eyes are closed. Father, thank you again for tonight. Thank you for Peter. And his heart's desire, I believe because of what happened in his own life, that he could pen such a challenge to us even tonight and be a blessing and encouragement to us about the importance of our practice of the sanctification that takes place in a heart and life, that we will allow Christ to sit on the throne of our lives, and having a good conscience, that whereas those that speak evil against you or against us, the evildoers, that they will be ashamed, that will falsely accuse us because of our conversation or our lifestyle in Christ. Because it is better, if the will of God be so, that we suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. I pray tonight, Lord, that the message has been an encouragement to us tonight about the importance of just keeping the glass clean of sin so that we might allow you to have place in our hearts and in our lives and make a difference. That it would give us the courage to stand for truth, even when we're being falsely accused. To know that if we're living for you, and you said in your word, that all that will live godly is going to suffer persecution. But we realize tonight that we can have prosperity in our lives. Lord, we can have your presence in our lives. We can have the promise in our lives. And I pray that each one of us will live the purpose of our lives and how you want to use us in the days to come. Bless now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Let's all stand at our feet. We're going to ask our pianist, Steve, to play a hymn of invitation, and maybe God has spoken in your heart about something that you need to do tonight. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as Savior. God, I pray that this will be the night that you make that decision for you, because you know he did all of this for you and I, and he wants us to have the kind of relationship that we're talking about. He wants us to have his presence. But you know, the greatest presence is that God wants to have with us is to be the Lord of our lives. He wants to be first place. He wants to sit on the throne, that we can sanctify him and that we can give an answer to every man that asks us the reason of the hope that's within us. And Lord, if we don't be conformed to this world, help us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Lord, help me to keep a clear conscience, that I can stand before you and have peace in my heart, and I can be at peace with men as well. Because you want to use us in these days, in the crisis of life that we stand and face each and every day, that we might live just this way that Peter has challenged us about living for you. Submission, it begins in our hearts. And if it begins in our hearts, it would affect the rest of our lives, our life, and it'll affect the lives around of those around us. I pray tonight that something was said that minister to every heart that was here tonight in some special way. Lord, I know that you have challenged my heart about my behavior, because the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and he hears our prayers, and he's against those that do evil. And I don't want you against me, Lord. I want your blessings. I'm going to ask our pastor to come and close however he sees fit.
Heads about.